And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast. Good week to be alive.
Good week
for sports. Salt Lake's getting some Olympic fever.
Oh, yeah. We're excited. Man, I watched the whole three. Well, I was kind of passively watching the whole 3-hour Olympic ceremony yesterday.
It's so crazy. Long. It was pretty legit, though.
It was pretty
I watched
long.
The part where they had like this robotic horse just like
At the end.
Flying through the water.
Yeah.
It was pretty sick.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. I can imagine in person it was probably looked pretty cool. Like Eiffel Tower all like sparkling and it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They definitely showed out. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I love it. In this episode, we're excited to talk about some of our expectations for the Jazz coming up next season. We're going to give our prediction for their win total and their like starting lineup at the beginning or end of the year. And we're also going to talk about marketing rumors as always, as those continue on. Jazz wave a couple players. We'll get into that. And then we'll also just talk a little bit about the Olympics and some local sports.
Yeah, don't forget, you can find us Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram at Tuned In Jazz is our at on all of those platforms. We're also on many other platforms. If there's one that we're missing, please let us know. We'd love to reach any way we can. And this is episode 39 of Tuned In Jazz. All right, so our boys, Lofton and Baisley,
they're
been
gone.
Waived by the Utah Jazz. What were your? You texted me about this earlier in the week, but what were your initial reactions?
Maybe that shows excitement. No, I just know we were talking about both these guys last week in their summer league, and I think the Jazz used summer league as a way of evaluating their talent.
Yeah,
and sure. Since they didn't really like ball out in summer league like that, and the rookies kind of seem like they balled out more, right? And they fit better. Yeah, they just waived them. So
yeah,
I know you were a big fan, probably the biggest Jazz Kenny Lofton fan I've met. But what are your thoughts
about
this?
I'd say like I haven't really seen anything from Lofton since he's been on the Jazz that has impressed me, but like. I just had really high hopes for what he could become because I like the type of player he is, but just I could agree with you, never really panned out. The interesting thing about this, though, is like the Jazz are already not that deep at like with big men right now. So, like,
it's true.
Waving both of these guys seems odd, but I don't know. Maybe the Jazz are preparing.
We need
for something.
Micah Potter back.
Yeah.
Come back, Micah.
For real. Once he's done with the Olympics, I know he traveled with the.
Yeah, he's
Team
there
USA
right now
and,
with high-fiving LeBron after
win. It's
I
so sweet. I'm happy for him. He deserves that.
Yeah, and then what about Darius Baisley? I actually really liked him in Salt Lake Summer League for his defense.
Yeah, I thought he looked nice. Yeah.
And so I guess out of the two, I would have probably been more high on him, but he's waived too. Any thoughts on him?
Yeah, I kind of the same story. I could agree with you. He was more like versatile. Like he could switch a lot more. He's pretty quick.
He was
arms.
Like a small forward, but it looked like he was like 6'10" almost on the court.
He could probably play center, absolutely. Yeah, Bobby Marks had an interesting tweet. Bobby Marks, big NBA analyst. He talked about the Jazz freed up. The only thing they were guaranteed to both players was $400,000. And so they have $37 million in cap space left. And this is kind of interesting. We talked last week about what the Jazz would have to spend with the Westbrook trade a little bit. And Bobby Marks reported that the Jazz need to reach a minimum salary floor by the first day of the regular season, which means we'll have to pay $23 million more by that time. So kind of interesting. Obviously, we're still in anticipation of a Lowry extension, but also, does that mean we're preparing to make a bigger deal? Who knows? I mean, that's a lot of money to make.
Yeah,
up,
I want to know. I don't know the answer. I don't know if you know the answer. Love to go talk to Bobby Marks. Maybe he'd know the answer. But I don't know if we do. If we do the Markkanen extension, it does. I don't think it would kick in till next year.
I don't think so either.
He'd still be getting paid $18 million this year.
Yeah.
On the books. Absolutely. And so I don't know if that extension is going to contribute to the
23
that we need to spend. Like, does it have to be this year's money, or does it? Can it be next year's money?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure the answer to that. I don't know if we can like give him some of our cap space right now, because we'd love to do that. But I don't know. I do think that gives us a lot of leverage for other teams that are like, please help. We are above the second apron, or we're above the first apron.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here like, we got $23 million extra cap space. What picks do you have?
Yeah.
Right. And I hope that's the case. As like they said, it just has to be by the beginning of the regular season.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Get till we later could go, October. Yeah.
Wait until like a couple weeks before and the 23. We don't have to really be in a rush.
Absolutely. It also, it does put in, you kind of talked about it last week, the Westbrook trade. It makes more sense because I think Westbrook comes off the books for this year. I
actually got the details on ESPN.
Oh, do you?
For the Westbrook trade, we were both confused because nobody was telling us the details.
Yeah.
So the Clippers actually gave us $4 million in cash.
Yeah.
And it only took $2 million to buy out Westbrook. And so we actually gained money in this trade. And on top of that, the pick swap was in 2030. So who knows? Maybe the Clippers could be bad in 2030.
Yeah.
And it could be something. So that makes a little bit more sense why we would accept the Westbrook trade. It gives us more cap to use. I don't think that cap, if we don't use that $2 million, it's just going to be gone. It's like an exception.
Absolutely.
But anyways, the Westbrook trade actually makes a little bit more sense after that.
It makes me wonder with the Jazz, like, obviously we've been big game hunting, or I don't know, not a lot of success with the big game hunting, but like, do the Jazz, are they zeroing in on somebody right now? Like, what? Like, it just
feels like we missed out on everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like we would have been more, if we weren't ready to go get that guy now, we would have been more aggressive in free agency, get a couple more guys at least.
Yeah.
And it also makes sense why we wouldn't move on right now from Collins or Clarkson, because both Collins is making $26 million this year and Clarkson's making 14. You can't really like get off those contracts.
I was listening to like the KSL Jazz Notes podcast.
Uh-huh.
And they're just talking about how like it sounds like the Jazz want to move on from those guys.
Yeah.
But just no other teams have the money. And so like a team that wants to contend, like you could say maybe the Clippers, right? They'd love to get a Jordan Clarkson maybe help them win a couple more games. They're trying to contend, but they're like, they're hitting the first apron. They had to get rid of Westbrook to survive that.
Yeah.
And so like even teams that are trying to contend, like they don't have $15 million to spend on Jordan Clarkson. So he's just going to stay here and we have him for a couple more years.
Absolutely.
Even though we kind of want to move on.
And John Collins is just an atrocious contract that, he's not even worth half that likely, so I don't blame
teams.
We
may as well put all our cards on him just to try and get better. And
honestly, it's in our best interest.
He's going to be on the team for two more years. Let's just make the most of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then also in Jazz news, we have to do our weekly marketing update. I know it's been like maybe a whole month since we've, every episode we talk about a new marketing rumor, a new marketing tweet from Wojnarowski. Apparently, he's the only NBA news other than the Olympics right now.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I kind of saw a notification this week that just pretty much said what we already knew.
Yeah.
That the Jazz are not really interested in trading Markkanen.
Yeah.
And they're probably just going to extend him.
Yeah.
But they're still going to listen to offers is what it said as well. Which is like, what is that bipolar? Is it like we're going to extend him and we're going to trade him? Or is it more like they're leaning towards extending him?
Yeah, honestly. I think for Markkanen's sake, Jazz have to make up their mind. I mean, like, if we want this guy to stay around long term, we can't, like, we have to show the guy some respect. I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
I don't know if you know this stat, but Lauri Markkanen is leading the league in games played without a playoff appearance.
Oh my gosh.
That's sad.
That is insane, dude.
So, like, I feel like we owe it to him to get him in at least one playoff series.
Yeah,
because we can do that.
Absolutely.
But also, like, Cooper Flagg's sitting there, and I'm like,
yeah,
can you wait 1 year, Lowry?
Right. Can you have knee surgery or something?
Can you just, like, chill this year, and then next year we'll get you to the playoffs.
Yeah,
just
honestly,
trust us.
I totally
like,
agree.
I know you've played the most games without a playoff, but can you wait one more year?
Right, yeah. Absolutely. And, I mean, a player at his level at this point deserves to know if he's going to be in Utah this year. Like, at this point, we either need to re-sign him or get serious about trading him, because it's kind of just not fair to put him through that. It was kind of interesting you were talking about Woj being the only piece of news. This is a little side note, but I actually heard about the President Biden leaving the race from shams. I don't know why. I don't know why he was the person to tweet.
He's like bored with NBA stuff and going to political news.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously we'll go into politics, but I just thought that was funny because I'm like,
nice.
Because I was like, yeah, that's funny. The first place I hear is from an NBA guy. A little boring, yeah, I guess.
He's getting into his bag with some other news.
I guess so. The 2K ratings haven't come out yet, but there was a video posted on their TikTok. They had some of the rookies, probably in Vegas, guess their 2K ratings. Cody Williams is one of the players featured. He guessed 68, which is a little concerning to me that he would think he's a 68.
So low. But like, what is his confidence level, right? Like 68 means you're not playing a minute.
Right. And he's actually a 71. So I don't know if that's good or bad. I guess kind of, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kind of interesting. I believe the Risa Shar and Castle were both 75s, I believe, if I remember right.
That makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah, so he's only 4.
Him being the number one pick.
Yeah.
And I think you said Castle might be the 75 as well. I don't know. I feel like if they are really 75, then that's pretty good for 71. Does that mean 2K thinks he's not going to break the rotation? Maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We can't get too bent up about 2K ratings.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, Keontae started at a 72. He's now reached almost 80s at 79. Probably should be an 80. So I mean,
yeah, he should be an 80.
So
Colin Sexton's probably like 83 or 84 or something like that.
So if, I mean, Cody Williams could make that type of jump that Keontae did, hopefully.
Yeah.
We would hope at least.
And then I guess the main bulk of the episode that we wanted to talk about today is we want to do some predictions or just have a conversation about what are we looking like towards the beginning of next season.
We do.
Starting with, how many wins do you think the Jazz are going to get next season? And let me paint you a picture first.
Yeah.
The last 4 years of Jazz basketball, the wins have gone down a little bit each year.
Yeah.
So like in 2021, that was our best year. We didn't play the full season because COVID. We lost in the second round to the Grizzlies, if you remember that. Next year after, so that was 52 wins. Next year is 49 wins. We drop 3 wins and we lose in the first round of the Mavericks. Quinn Snyder leaves. And then the last 2 years under Will Hardy, we've done 37 wins in his first year. Didn't make the playoffs for the first time in a while. And then after that, 31 wins last year. And so you've gone from 52 to 31 in those 4 years. And so it's just like this trend that we're seeing of losing a couple more each year.
Yeah.
And so That begs the question, what are we going to expect for next year? Are we going to be continuing that trend lower than 31 wins? Are you expecting a couple more wins than last year?
Well, I mean, it's tough to know. I think this one might be a little worse, would be my prediction. Like, I could see us under 30 wins. I just really hope we go get Cooper Flag, honestly. I
get better odds. Are you saying like tank hard?
I mean, I already think our roster's kind of set up not to succeed very much. I mean, I don't know. Like, I just don't, at this point, I mean, Clarkson's going to ball out like he always does. I mean, Markkanen will play well. Other than that, it's like a lot of question marks, you know?
Yeah.
Kessler could be good like his first season, or he could play like last season. Keontae, you never know if he'll have a sophomore slump. I hope not, but I don't know. A lot of question marks. I could see us at like maybe 28 or 29, just a couple less.
Yeah, I'm as sad as it is, I have us at 28 wins.
Okay.
I think the Jazz direction, just because we missed out this offseason on getting a guy, Cooper Flagg or somebody, one of the Boozer brothers, somebody at the top of the draft.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And so I'm thinking the plan in my head that seems the most realistic. We extend Markkanen, tell him to wait one more year of bad basketball, and then we go get one of those top draft guys and then just try and build our team to make the playoffs again and hopefully win the championship. That's the goal, right? We want to have our ceiling be as high as possible with these young guys.
Absolutely.
And that would mean the only other season where we've been under 30 wins in the 2000s was with Tyrone Corbin.
Oh,
that one year we had 25 wins and we were terrible, and we ended up with Dante Exum that after that season, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And so if we can tank as hard as we did for Dante Exum, then I think maybe we'll have a chance. But
yeah,
it's going to be rough out there. So I said 28. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'll say 29. I think, yeah. I kind of hope we start our... I know we're technically not allowed to tank in the NBA. Maybe the Jazz aren't going to openly admit it, but we've started our tank a little late the last 2 years. Like this last year, we were in playoff contention by the deadline or whatever, and then we just finally decided we weren't going to... I mean, not really. We were in the hunt, at least. So hopefully this year we can just start giving our rookies more minutes. We don't have to wait until 50 games in to play Hendricks and Saint-Sabah or Filipowski. Like, we could let those guys play early, you know?
Should we just start Collier?
Yeah, let's do it.
Just go crazy, and I'm sure we'll lose games that way.
Yeah, honestly.
But I don't know how Sexton will feel. Maybe he'll... If he's been kind of missing the playoffs a lot in his career, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he was on our team in any of our playoff series yet, because he came in with Markkanen.
Yeah. Honestly, what we could do if we really wanted to lose games, we signed Talon Horton Tucker to one-year, $23.7 million contract.
It give solves him 48 our 48 minutes a game and let him go to work. Yeah,
it solves our salary cap issues if we give him that much, and we'll lose the game. So
I can already see you putting that into 2K right now and just like simulating a season. Yeah,
that'd be pretty bad.
My worst nightmare. Anyway, well, that kind of takes us to what we're gonna predict the starting lineup, and honestly, the rotation.
Yeah,
going into the year, and then you could even share like, if you believe like guys are going to go up in the rotation throughout the year, they're going to go down anyway. So let's just go starting lineup first.
Yeah.
Who do you have at point guard?
I think Keontae's pretty much got that role. I'm going to say Keontae.
I've got Colin Sexton
as
my point guard. I feel like Keontae just felt, I know he started the season kind of passing well, but then he kind of started to just become a scoring guard.
That's true.
And so I don't know, I have him at the two guard though.
Yeah.
So
okay, fair enough. I would have Colin Sexton at my two guard. Honestly, I think
who's the point guard?
Honestly, in my opinion, I think it's within our best interest, cuz I think Keontae has the capability to be a really good passer, just playmaker in general. But honestly, in today's NBA, it really doesn't matter too much.
It's kind of just like, you go, I go.
Yeah, right.
I think they're both able to play off of each other enough to where absolutely, like, they could catch and shoot a little bit or have the ball in their hands kind of equally.
Yeah, it's kind of like whenever you watch like the Lakers or Suns, like, of course they have a point guard, but half the time LeBron or Kevin Durant are bringing the ball up the floor. Like,
It's not like we have Conley where he's,
he's
defined as a point guard. He's not a shooting guard. Both of these guys are kind of just guards.
Yeah,
they're
absolutely
not. I don't think one of them's the clear point guard, but they're probably both going to start together.
Absolutely, yeah. I could agree with that.
And this is the most interesting.
Yeah.
Who do you have at your small forward?
I think Taylor Hendricks.
Okay.
I think he fits, in my mind, he just fits better at the three. I think he improves a little this year on shooting, I hope at least. It seemed like in summer league, his jump shot was coming along a little. And as a defender, it would be nice to have him on some of those wings, you know?
I don't think Keontae's going to be a great defender.
No, I don't think so either.
I think we did see him, like, improve throughout the end of the last season. He was kind of fighting around more screens and...
Yeah, he's not a bad
having
defender,
more energy, so he could be a good defender, but I think that just Hendrick's size is so needed as, like, that Jaden McDaniels type player.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Yeah, I have him at the three as well, spoiler.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyways, I don't think that's locked up, though. I don't know if he'll be that at the end of the year, but I think at the beginning of the year, he's got that.
Yeah.
And then
absolutely,
hopefully no-brainer, but Markkanen at power forward.
Yeah,
is what
absolutely.
I got. I guess, do you think Markkanen would play any other position, or is he the power forward?
I mean, realistically, I could see a world where we still start John Collins, and in which case you kind of have to have Larry at the three. not have to, but it just makes more sense with Collins, I think. But
you mean at the four?
Collins at the four, Lowry at the three, yeah.
And then who would you have at center?
Probably Walker, yeah.
Ooh, that wasn't good last year, though.
No, it wasn't. But
Collins
I just think I think if we're still like insistent on having John Collins in the starting lineup, yeah, I don't know. It gets a little messy. I think Lowry fits best at four. I have him at four as well. Okay. I think it's nice to be able to stretch the floor that much when you've got four guys who can shoot on the floor at the same time. It's even better with five, but obviously
I think although Collins is a way worse defender than Kessler, it is nice to have five out on offense.
Yeah, that's
John
true.
Collins has been a decent shooter last year. Yeah. He made a lot of shots.
He's not horrible.
And so I think that could give Keontae and Sexton a ton more space to operate.
I could agree with
and
that.
Our offense should be way better.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I actually have, as much as I love Kessler, I have Collins as our starting center.
Really? Okay.
Just because of the spacing.
Yeah.
And we're paying him $25 million this year, so we may as well give him the best chance.
That's true.
But I'm not sold on it. So if you had different, then I'm willing to be sold.
I still am very excited about what I saw from Kessler in his first season. I just really hope we can see.
You want to see that Kessler?
I do. And so I'm still sticking with Kessler at the five on mine. I just think.
What do you?
It's tough.
What do you need to see from Kessler to start him? Like, what does he need to be able to show? Because he has a lot to prove. Like,
yeah.
I don't think Will Hardy's sold on him being a starter.
No, absolutely not. I think, in my opinion, I don't even think he needs to be that good of a scorer. But in his first season, we saw him, like, legitimately affect games with his defense. And, like, protecting the rim, even just, like, being able to switch a little bit on, like, bigger wings, you know? If he can just play elite on the defensive side of the ball, which we know he's capable of,
yeah,
I don't even honestly feel like I need to see that many offensive things out of him. But
I think one thing that maybe could get him more minutes, because he's not going to be able to outshoot Collins.
No, absolutely not.
So we're not going to have that spacing.
No.
I think his passing could get him, because
that's true.
I know last season, I don't know if you noticed, but Kelly Olynyk was our best passer on the team. I think he averaged the most assists.
Absolutely.
And when he was traded, we lost a lot of like fluid offense.
Absolutely.
And so like I think if Kessler could figure out just how to make smart passes, that could help him a lot. Get better hands. He seems to like drop some lobs or like I think that part of that is the guys passing in to him aren't as good as Conley used to be.
Yeah.
And so he's dropping lobs, missing dunks or like layups and different stuff like that. I think if he can get like just more control with the ball on offense, that's all we really need. He doesn't have to do a ton.
Yeah.
But it's a good conversation.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see who they end up going with.
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's a partly a confidence thing. Like, it's crazy how much confidence can affect your game. Like, last summer he did the Team USA thing and didn't,
I think that
really
rocked his confidence.
I think it did too.
I think that ruined him.
And like, you think about it, the year before he was drafted, not really, nobody expected anything of him. He could just come in and play his game. And this year he was,
people knew what he was about. Yeah,
he was supposed to be all defensive guys, what people were talking about. And
we're talking about him being better than Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, we did.
And then Rudy Gobert put that
to bed.
Yeah, he ended that.
He spiked that on us. But yeah, I just hope maybe he's regained a little confidence this year. Maybe I don't really think there's high expectations on him this year. So hopefully he can just come in and like play well. But either way, he'll get some minutes for sure. So
he'll
be in a rotation.
I'll just say I have him as my second guy off the bench.
Okay. Nice.
And then I have Jordan Clarkson as our sixth man still.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to start with Sexton or George unless one of them gets hurt.
Yeah.
Because I think Sexton really proved himself last year as one of the best players on the team, if not probably the number two player after Markkanen.
Absolutely.
And then Clarkson, I think we can't play the rook. We can't throw the rookies into the fire right away. I don't know. I feel like they need to at least start the season behind Clarkson to like see how things go. Maybe they get some minutes towards the end of the bench, and then maybe towards the end of the season, Clarkson might be the guy at the end of the bench.
Yeah.
As opposed to some of the rookies.
Yeah.
But anyways, I have Clarkson as our sixth man, Kessler as our seventh man.
Okay. Interesting. I kind of have them switched, but it doesn't matter too much. I think they would come in at the same time. They fill different roles.
Mm-hmm. You had Collins.
Collins is what I meant, not
just
Kessler.
He'd be like your seventh or sixth or seven guy.
He'd probably be my sixth, and I'd have Clarkson at seven.
Okay.
One guy probably who's next for me, I just really am impressed with Isaiah Collier. Obviously, he hasn't had a ton of experience. I'm not saying he might be.
He's your eight or nine,
but I will say my hope for him is I think he could be that point guard. Like I think he could be the point guard that we talked about Sexton and Keontae not being, because both of them are kind of just guards. But to me, Isaiah Collier is a point guard. You know, so I don't know how that starting lineup would work, but my hot take is I could see him maybe getting a couple starts maybe throughout the season. So
I have the opposite take. I have him as a reserve getting no minutes to start the year.
Okay.
I could definitely see him cracking the rotation.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the year, maybe get like 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But I have him as a reserve.
Oh, interesting.
To start the year, no minutes.
Interesting.
For my eighth guy, I've got Sensabaugh.
Okay.
He kind of got injured during summer league, so we didn't see as much of him as we would have liked.
Yeah,
but when we went to go see him in Salt Lake, he just seemed like it showed that he had a year of experience. I think he has just kind of proven himself to me to be kind of more polished than some of the rookies, so put him at the eighth guy.
I could agree with that. I think he's proven that he's an NBA level scorer. There's a lot of question marks in other parts of his game.
He's a great shooter. Absolutely. He's always been a great shooter.
He's good in the mid-range, good at three. He finishes at the rim really well. As a defender is kind of the question mark. Or even understanding offense is kind of...
He just needs to guard the corner. That's all we need from you, Bryce.
Yeah, we don't need him to be a THT-type player. We need him to be a little different. So.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times he'll be playing with Clarkson, Sexton, or George. And so he doesn't even really need to have the ball in his hands that much.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on a guy that's just jumping out at me where I really don't know where to put him is Johnny Juzang. I mean, we just signed him 4 years.
Interesting.
I can't imagine he keeps playing in the G League if we've signed him for a four-year contract. Maybe he does, but what are your...
To be honest, I kind of forgot about Johnny Juzang.
Yeah.
Like, we signed him, and I was like, cool. And then he wasn't part of Summer League, so he just kind of slipped my mind.
It's tough, yeah.
It's going to be a battle between him and Filipowski for minutes.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I think just since our boy Juzang, he's been on the team 1 year. He's played already last season. I think he's going to be like the 10th guy off the bench. Like he's going to barely get minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'm expecting Filipowski to probably take his minutes at some point.
I could see it. Yeah.
So, but anyways, I'd probably have him as the 10th man. And then I also have Cody Williams as like our 9th man.
Really?
I think he's going to get minutes right away. Yeah. I think it would be foolish for the Jazz to not play him. He needs to get some minutes. But Collier and Filipowski, I could see them starting off as reserves.
Yeah.
And Williams be the guy that gets a little bit of burn.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one way I've been frustrated with the Jazz last couple of years is like, I don't know if I'm a big believer in the whole play in the G League to develop. Like, I just, with the point that the Jazz are at, we have minutes available for players to actually learn to play in the NBA against NBA talent. You know what I mean? Like, the way I see it, I don't think there's any reason Hendricks should have waited that long to actually play for the Jazz.
Yeah, and his position is so free.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I guess, especially after we traded Abaji.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That position is so free. Like, we need a guy to play the three.
And if we're going
to
trade away all our good pieces, give him experience. Like, I hope this year, all three of the rookies we drafted, I hope they at least will get some time. I'm not saying maybe
Collier
won't.
Are you saying,
like,
beginning of the year or more end of the year?
Well, maybe, you know, maybe they do earn their minutes. I think that's important. But, like, maybe not waiting till the deadline to give Filipowski some rotation minutes or Collier a couple of minutes even at the end of a game. Like, it's like sometimes last year, even at the end of the game, he wouldn't put Hendricks in. And it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I agree. I think they need to get some minutes.
Yeah.
If it goes the way we hope and these guys do show that they're good, which we don't know, that some of them could be busts.
It's true. Absolutely true.
Maybe we need to trade Clarkson at the deadline.
I could see it. Yeah.
And that could free up some minutes for Collier, because I think Collier just gets buried.
Yeah.
Behind, there's four other guards. And if you count Cody Williams as a guard, that's five other guards that I'd put above him.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's just hard to get minutes for that guy.
That is tough.
And so, I don't know. I expect Collier to not get a whole lot of minutes just because of all the other guards we have.
Yeah, I can see it.
But unless we maybe trade Clarkson or something like that, it's going to be hard for him unless he, like, really proves himself.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, and this season will just be so interesting because it's like the Jazz are still big game hunting, like we talked about, and things could change very quickly for the Jazz. Like, say at the deadline somebody becomes available, like, do the Jazz just, you know, all of a sudden are we in contention if we go get the guy we want? Or, you know, it's right. Just kind of
up. Do you in think the air. Drew Eubanks is going to get any minutes?
Oh, I forgot about him.
Or is he going to be a reserve guy?
I mean,
because Kessler and Collins are going to get the majority.
Yeah.
Is he going to play over Filipowski or Juzang?
Oh, I mean, I could see at the beginning of the season him being, like you said, like, you can't really start Filipowski right away. Juzang might make a little better of a case, but yeah, I could see him maybe at the beginning being kind of the rotation at the big man.
I hope that at least, just because it sounds like you're kind of high on Collier. I'm kind of high on Filipowski.
Yeah, fair enough.
And so I'm kind of,
I like Filipowski.
I want Filipowski to play over him.
Yeah.
Even at the beginning of the year, I'm like, let's just send it.
Yeah.
I don't even think Filipowski's technically signed a contract yet. I hope the Jazz get that done pretty soon. I'm so high on him. I would just bury Eubanks on the bench and put Filipowski in there.
What do you think? So Filipowski, 6'11", 248. He doesn't really seem like a center or kind of a power forward, not really. What position do you think he fits best at from what you've seen so far?
I think he can play both the power forward and the center.
Okay.
And so, of course, like, his defense is going to, it needs some work.
Yeah.
Oh, his absolutely. Communication, his, like, just IQ and whatever. But he's 6'11", like, he can figure it out.
Yeah.
He's got the size and everything for it. He's got the strength. And so, I don't know, I think four or five. So he could come off the bench for Markkanen. He could come off the bench for John Collins or Walker Kessler. I think the best chance that he has to play is at the four, though.
Yeah, I could agree with
that. And so he'd be competing for minutes with Hendricks, with, I guess, Markkanen. But Hendricks might play our three. So
There were some times in Summer League, Filipowski was playing with Baisley and Lofton. I think he was, like, the three. It wasn't always defined, obviously, but...
That's so crazy. Is he quick enough for that?
I mean, he's got decent handles. That's kind of one thing that you would at least want.
I don't know if he can get around screens guarding NBA threes, though.
No, probably not.
Like, but he's out there trying to guard, like, Dylan Brooks. I think he'd get cooked.
Yeah. I think it's a part of his game he could develop. It'd just be interesting to see. I don't know how. Yeah. I don't know. I like how versatile our lineup is. We could kind of put guys in a lot of spaces, I think.
It was cool. A good conversation. I feel like, at least for me, the consensus from this conversation, in my opinion, is I'd see Cody Williams being the guy to get minutes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the other guys might start off just bench sitting and G-leaguing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then if we can get them to maybe prove themselves, we might have to trade Clarkson, or we might have to trade one of those more veteran guys to free up minutes. But if not, at least we have real NBA players if these rookies don't end up panning out.
Yeah.
Of course, we hope they do.
It's crazy. I think the only ones that aren't really question marks is Keontae Sexton and Markkanen. Like, we know those guys will probably start.
Yeah.
But other than that, we're like, who's going to be a small forward? Who'll be our center?
Yeah, I mean, we might end up having to put Markkanen at small forward. And
yeah.
Try Filipowski or try Juzang in the starting lineup too.
Yeah, honestly, it could go a lot of ways.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see. I'm excited for also how the Jazz are going to use that $23 million. Yeah. This is going to shake up a little bit pretty soon.
We got a couple contracts available now that those guys are waived.
I guess as long as we don't re-sign Talen Horton-Tucker, I'm happy.
Right, yeah.
Except unless, of course, your plan to tank comes to pass and that's what we do. But hopefully we don't re-sign him and all else will be pretty good.
Absolutely. Well, while we wait, Olympics started. We talked a little about the opening ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going on right now. It's hard to keep up because the time difference is a little weird between here and Paris. But
what are your kind of exciting top 3 to 5 Olympic sports to watch? Man.
Dude, weirdly enough, I usually have no interest in swimming, but swimming's got to be number one for me. Those are so exciting. Fun.
I will not watch swimming unless it's the Olympics.
Oh, dude, yeah.
That's it.
Dude, I remember being a kid and watching Michael Phelps that one year when he broke the record for most medals, and it was just like, I remember just being in awe. Like, it was so exciting. That's pretty good. I don't know why I really like diving as well. I think it's fun to watch.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I just, whenever they do diving, they just like don't. Their swimsuits are like so small.
That's true.
That's the only thing for me, but that's really impressive. There's a guy from Utah that's doing diving, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I also love the like short distance running.
Oh, yeah,
like 400 meter or 800 meter runs. Yeah. Actually, Kenneth Rooks from BYU, he's going to be doing track and field at the Olympics, so I'm excited to watch him.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I want to say I saw something. BYU has the most Olympians they've ever sent. It's like 8 this year or something.
Wow, that's insane.
Including our boy Jimmer. Take the 3x3.
I got to tell you, I don't know if basketball counts as... I know it's an Olympic sport, but it's not like... It's a team sport.
Yeah.
And so we see it throughout the year. Some of these sports we don't see any other time.
No.
Except for during the Olympics.
Yeah.
Of course, we're going to love to watch basketball. Yeah. Of course, we're going to want to watch Jimmer. Any other sports that you're looking to see? Oh, they have rowing? Is that a thing?
Rowing's a thing, yeah.
I watched that Boys in the Boat movie.
Oh, it was
that
kind of so
got
good.
Me hyped on rowing, so I'm excited for that if that's in the
Olympics. I like water polo a lot. Water polo is fun to
watch.
Interesting. Yeah.
That'd be a new one for me.
Apparently, somebody told me the other day that surfing is now a summer Olympic sport. I'm not really into surfing at all. I never surfed before, but it'd be kind of cool to watch.
How do they know who wins? Is it like just based off points of tricks and stuff?
It's probably kind of like gymnastics where it's just like I would guess there's judges, but I don't really know.
There's also break dancing.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, nice. I watched the USA team like introducing them in a video and they're so good.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny to me that it's there, but it's going to be there for a while. I think that's just part of the Olympics now.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I'm not a huge Winter Olympics watcher, but I am a Summer Olympics guy. I think there's a lot of cool stuff.
I'm trying to think if there's any sports we're missing. There's too many to count, to be
honest. Oh, there is, man.
Because, like, we both love swimming, but there's so many track and field events.
Yeah, volleyball's fun to watch.
Oh,
beach volleyball.
Beach volleyball. I love watching beach volleyball.
Yeah, it's so fun.
That one's so hype. To watch. There's also tennis, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Coco Gauff was holding the flag with LeBron.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. Yeah, but it's going to be fun to see. Do you think the USA is going to get the most gold medals or medals total? Or what are you expecting?
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean...
Have we the last couple years?
I think so. Dude, I'll tell you what. The patriotism I felt when I saw, you know, all these other teams, they had like 4 or 5 countries on a boat. And then you see Team USA's boat pull up and they're all just packed in there like sardines on one boat. Like, we're some beasts when it comes to the Olympics. It's pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah. I love to see. I think the USA's just got so many athletes from like around the world. Like, why do we have Joel Embiid on our basketball team?
Yeah.
Like, he's not from the USA, but he's a citizen.
I think they said yesterday we were at 506 or something was the amount of... Which is a crazy amount of athletes.
Yeah, no, it's pretty insane. I know that I love the fact that like in the USA, in our country, we can have people come immigrate or we can have all these amazing athletes come and just represent the USA and just ball out.
Yeah.
Whether it's diving or whether it's break dancing or gymnastic, whatever it is, it's just cool to see like USA's always pulling strong.
Yeah.
I always think China's probably our biggest threat a lot of the time. It seems like they're usually pretty good.
Seems like Russia usually is too. I heard...
Although they're not yeah. able to represent Russia.
I know in 2020, Russia like went by something else or something. But this year, they just weren't represented at all. So it's like, yeah.
I think last year they weren't represented either. Yeah. All their athletes were just independent.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. So kind of interesting. Speaking of the Olympics, 2034. Salt Lake City Olympics.
SLC, baby.
Oh, man. We're probably not talking about it because there's a lot going on. And it's also 10 years away. I love
the past 2 weeks on the news. They're just like gearing up for the 2034 Olympic announcement. Like it's not going to happen. I think we pretty much knew this a couple weeks ago, but they just made it so dramatic to lead up to the announcement.
Yeah. Apparently, I saw some reports that there wasn't any other countries that put in bids to host in 2034. Apparently, the climate and the cost it takes is too much for a lot of countries, is what they said. And Utah's kind of already set up for it. Was that 2002? Was that right?
Yeah, last time that's the year I was born. I'm an Olympic baby.
Oh, nice. Let's go.
Yeah, no, I guess 2034 is 10 years away, so we've got a while to prepare. I'm sure they honestly probably need to start planning right now for like that opening ceremony was pretty legit. So I don't know what ours is going to be like.
Yeah, it's wild.
So that'll be good. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, super exciting. Especially you think about by then we'll be 10 years into our hockey team.
True. We'll kind of be. Maybe we'll have a Stanley Cup at that point.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have a hockey player represent us in the USA team.
All right.
That'd be cool. So yeah. Lots to be excited about there. Mike Trout had his little, we talked last week about his stint with the Salt Lake Bees. He only had one at bat. I think he got a single. He did get a couple outs, but
I'm sure the people that paid tickets still were happy.
Oh, yeah. Just seeing him there.
He played once, yeah.
I think he got a couple outs in he plays center field. And then he had knee soreness, and then that was the end of his time with the Bees. So, but it was kind of cool to be able to say he came back and represented us again. Kind of fun. Well, how's your college football rebuild going?
It's going pretty well. I'm on my second year with BYU. We're ranked, so nice. We're hoping to get the Natty.
That's dope. I think I talked last week. I'm rebuilding Temple University. We're currently on a 4-game win streak against our rival Penn State, so I'm happy about that.
Heck yeah. Have you figured out, because there's like 4 difficulty levels?
Yeah.
Like, when I open up the game, I put it on freshman. Like,
really?
Yeah. I just need to figure out how to play this. That was too easy.
Yeah.
Now I'm on, like, I think it's varsities, like level 2.
Yeah.
What do you play on varsity, or what do you play on?
Yeah, I do play on varsity. I know there's a lot of like purists that think you got to play on Heisman, but I just like,
it's not fun.
It's not fun at all, dude.
Like, why do you want to play a game that you can't win?
Dude, the game is so hard. Like, it's like, I cannot enjoy myself.
Like, or you'll be throwing like drags the whole game just to get first downs. Like, what the heck?
And there's no, like, you have no prayer of playing defense if you're playing on Heisman. Like, you're not getting tackles.
FCS Northwest is just going to dot you up and score touchdowns the whole game.
Your only hope is to just match every score and get lucky with timing. Like, it's just, anyway, so I'm kind of I tried freshman. Freshman was way too easy.
Yeah, like, I know. It's like,
also wasn't very fun.
Touchdown every play.
But varsity, I find, like, with good teams, it's still kind of you still kind of got to lock in a little.
Yeah, I haven't tried. I think there's All American. It's like level 3.
That's the third one,
So that's probably a little better than Heisman. Maybe once I get a little better on the sticks, I might try that. But I've been liking varsity a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I had one game. It was like BYU versus who were we playing? It was like a Big 12 game, Iowa State or UCF or something like that. And it went to 4 overtimes.
For real? Oh my gosh, dude.
And it's pretty exciting with college football. Like, you have the 2-point conversions.
Yeah.
And I was just running like halfback stretch, and it was scoring like almost every time. And so I barely squeaked that one out. It was awesome.
Oh, man. I was playing the other day, and I got my first 5-star recruit.
Let's go.
I'm on season 4, so I'm finally kind of getting my stars up a little. And I was like so hyped, dude. I was like, the game's a little glitchy, I think. I mean, it just released, so it makes sense. But overall, good game. I'm
happy. What's your money play? Like, you need 20 yards, like, or even 10 or 20 yards. What play are you going to? Is it a run, a pass?
I'm trying to think. I think it's called slot fade. It's really nice. Like, the the slot receiver just does kind of a fade towards the sideline, and right. half the time it works, but if the safety's like pull with him, then the middle of the field's wide open and I got a guy coming across the middle, and it's just I just gotta read
that's
it right
so good. I gotta find that one
money play. What's your go-to?
Mine is, it's called like inside cross.
Ooh.
And it's got like this deep post I never really throw to, okay. but sometimes it's there, and then it's got like these two like out routes that in the short flats.
Ooh, okay.
on both sides, and yeah. usually the CPU always runs like zone with nothing in the flat, and so it's like yeah. an easy 10 yards.
Oh dude, that's so,
so that's
money.
My money play.
That's so money. Yeah. What a good game, dude. I feel like we're like with this game, if I feel like I'm a kid again, you know. I feel like a lot of guys
I know I'm excited for like, there's like the team builder too. Yeah. I don't think it's come out. I don't know.
I think it has now, yeah.
Really? Cuz I was trying to I downloaded like college not in the game from my mission in Wisconsin.
Oh, that's
and
sick.
I want to start a team builder, but I don't know how to do it yet. So I'm hoping that works out. But
I think they have like, I noticed their website was up the other day, and then you just go download. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
yeah. But thank you so much for joining us. I know we say it every episode, but we're grateful that people want to listen, and we're grateful for your support, and we'd love to hear your feedback. You know, lots of question marks with the Jazz. What do you think is going to happen in the future? Are we tanking? Who's going to be our starting lineup? And check out our last episodes. We have a lot of great insights. Talk about trades and signings. So check those out. Yeah. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube.
Yeah, and we've been growing a little bit. We have a few more listeners than we have the last couple episodes.
Absolutely.
And if you're new to this podcast, like, welcome. We're glad to have you. This is so fun to have a couple more people listening, and we're hoping to grow a little bit more and see what happens.
Yes. Thanks for all your engagement, your love, your listens. We love that's the best way you can support us. So we hope that you take care, enjoy the Olympics, keep in touch with all the Jazz things, and take care.
Peace.